Everyone lost an hour of sleep last night, so we had to wear bright pink this morning to wake you up a little bit. It's Lectare Sunday, though. We're just past that midway point of Lent, and Lectare just means joy. It's a reminder midway through our Lenten journey that divine joy is the whole purpose for everything we do during Lent. That during Lent, we put to death the deadly things in our life, so that we can create a space, carve out the space within us to be filled more fully with divine joy, with the divine joy of the resurrection. And this is the joy that is right in our gospel today. John 3:16. You know they hold that up in football stadiums, right? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. There it is. If anyone asks you, what do you believe as a Christian, as a Catholic? What do you believe? Tell me in one sentence. Right here. John 3:16. It sums up the whole thing. God so loved the world that he sent his only son, that whoever believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. But then, just a couple lines after, there's this haunting thing that Jesus tells us. He says that this is the verdict, that the light came into the world, but people preferred darkness to light. People preferred the darkness to the light, even after having bathed in it. You know, you walk around yesterday, you would have thought it was mid-July. People were out 60 degrees mid-March. Unbelievable. And so people are sort of laying out, like soaking up the sun, like it's mid-July. I don't blame them. This whole homily, I was out praying and just sitting in the sun. But people, the incredible, crazy thing with the iniquity of evil, which just means it doesn't make sense, that someone who has drank from the joy of being with Christ, who's experienced that living in the light of Christ, that someone who has experienced that would prefer darkness, would choose darkness. That we would see this in the world. That people say, you know, I have my kids, I raised them, we went to mass, I tried to teach them the faith, I sent them to Catholic school. And they even went to youth group, they went to this conference when they were younger. And now they've fallen away from the faith. How do you understand that? It's the iniquity of evil, it doesn't make sense. In our own hearts, though, as well, St. Paul sums it up, doesn't he? He says, why do I do the things I don't want to do, but I can't do the things that I want to do? Oh, what a wretch like me. Who will save me? God's grace will, he says. Not able to understand that preference for darkness. And if I'm being honest with you, and I'm being genuinely humble, I can say that in my own heart, I prefer darkness. I prefer darkness. It's a lot easier there. I'm a lot more comfortable there. But it's this downward pull to it, this thing called concupiscence, this downward pull to sin, and what puts fuel on the fire of that concupiscence, that false light, are the lies that I believe, it's my pride. But what puts that fire out is truth, honesty, humility. Being able to look at my life and be honest and bring that to God in an honest way. And one of my first assignments as a priest, I gave a homily on confession. And this old guy from the parish, he and I loved to banter back and forth. He grew up speaking German. And I know like this much German because I studied it for a couple years in college. And so he'd come up and he's like, wie geht's, da da da, and he'd say some German stuff. I'd understand three words, and I had a couple lines I'd throw back to him. But he came up to me after this homily. He said, Father, I loved everything you said, but I don't have anything to confess. I don't need to go to confession. I was like, well, Leo, I mean, how long has it been? You know, maybe just a couple days or something, a couple weeks. He's like, oh, it's been a couple years. But at my age, Father, I don't sin anymore. I'm too old for that. I said, Leo, that's incredible. If you just wait right here, I'm going to go get a scissors. He's like, what? Yeah, I'm going to go get a scissors. And if you don't mind, I'm going to, like, cut little pieces of your shirt and coat off and maybe some of your hair because I want some relics. Because here you are, this living saint standing before me, Leo. And then he cursed at me in German. You know, the incredible thing about the saints, though, the strange thing about the saints is the closer they got to God, the closer they got to God, the more they recognized their own sinfulness. The more and more they recognized their own weaknesses, the closer they got to him. The more they grew in holiness, the more they grew in recognizing how much they fail. And this is what gives me a preference for darkness. Because as I grow closer to God and I see more of the more of that myself, that's not comfortable. That's not something I'm going to prefer doing. Is seeing all the weaknesses and all those things that are messed up in my life. I prefer the darkness where I don't have to see that. But this is the thing about the saints, that they recognize the humbling truth that they can't do anything on their own power. Jesus said, apart from me, you can't do anything. You're completely weak and powerless. It's recognizing that, but recognizing the other side of that coin. That with God and bringing my weakness to him, I receive a power which is more powerful than anything on this earth. That yes, it's my weakness, but it's his strength that I receive. It's a great selling line for Christianity, right? Come and be a Christian. The more you grow in your faith, the more you're going to recognize how pathetic you are. It's a great selling line. But the saints were drawn more and more to God because they had tasted that joy. They had tasted the freedom. And they recognized that it's God who gives them strength. You guys have been out driving on a summer evening, especially if you're driving and you go by like a lake. You know, I grew up down by Hazleton, and Moffett, just north of our place, there's Long Lake, which is like 25, 30 miles, and you're driving by it whenever I'd go home. And you're driving, and you know what's happening to your windshield, right? You're going to get 5 million mosquitoes and bugs splattered all over it. But here's the thing, when you're driving at night, you're not really noticing it so much until what? A car starts coming from the other direction. And as the light from that car gets closer and closer, you're seeing more and more clearly all those bugs splattered on your windshield. Even if you just have a couple little imperfections, you're noticing those very clearly the closer and closer that light gets. We're celebrating today here as well a wedding anniversary. 70 years of marriage. That's incredible, and that's a blessing which is going to resonate for generations and generations and generations. The sacrifice and love in that. There was a couple that I had married, and I talked to the groom probably about 6 months or so after their wedding. And I asked him how it was going. He's like, oh, Father, it's great. Love it. But you know, I never realized until I got married how selfish I am. I never realized how incredibly selfish I am. This is what love, divine love, when it's alive in Christ, when it's alive in a marriage, it's what it does. The closer you get to it, the more you recognize where I need it in my life. That if I'm drawing closer and closer to God, I'm recognizing and realizing more and more, wow, I didn't realize how much I absolutely need him for everything in my life. And I'm drawn closer and closer in my dependence. And you know what else? I also grow in gratitude as that's happening too. But when I'm drawing further and further away from God, when I'm going toward that preference toward darkness, the mentality changes, my heart changes into something more like, thank God Jesus is there when I need him. I'm doing all right now, but I'm glad he's there when I need him. And then when some crisis happens, then I'm like, oh, Jesus, he turns into a vending machine. I take my prayers, like my coins, I go put them in. Jesus, I need this thing. That it becomes where I'm guided by my false light of pride and not the light that came into the world to fill me with divine love, with divine joy. This is the joy that we're opening ourselves to in Lent, and it's the joy that we're filled with at Easter. The joy of our Christian faith that God so loved the world that he sent his only Son, that whoever believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life.